Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode. This week I am joined by Orsa Borb, who is a matchmaker, dating coach for the wild at heart and founder of Taylor Matched. She's all about creating deeper connection through matching people on sexual preference and overall compatibility. She's on a mission to remove shame from sexual desires and bring dating back to real life where real connections happen. Hello, lovely one.
Hello.
I'm so excited by you and your business and what you're doing. And actually, can you remember how we met?
I can. Yes, indeed. And when was that? Like November last year?
Yeah. And so we were at the coaching awards and yes. I was by myself and I didn't know that I was about to win an award, but I had been nominated and was terrified of going downstairs and in a very... my take of kind of black tie, I suppose, and it was a very cleavagey dress, and I stepped out into the corridor on my like, okay, just go and do this, walk downstairs, you're gonna be okay.
Yeah.
I stepped out into the corridor into you and you were so lovely and so supportive.
Oh, thank you. Well, you looked amazing as soon as you stepped out, because we were opposite rooms, weren't we? So I saw you stepping out as I was walking out and I was like, oh my God, you look amazing. And you're like, do you think? I was like, yes. I was like, let's roll. And and I was like, you got to do great. And then you won the award. I just felt that we connected straight away. So it's amazing to be able to talk to you today. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I, at that point, like had no idea what you were stepping into and what kind of coach you were going to become or, you know, where you were at. And it's amazing to see how far, you've really come in the last 12 months. We were talking about it a little bit off air before we started, but let's start at the beginning. What does adulting mean to you?
So adulting to me means, not so long ago, I heard someone saying the phrase parenting yourself, and it's something that I've been running with. I think it's a really good expression and really good way of looking at things. It's easy to tell other people, especially little ones, it's like, you can do this, you know, believe in yourself. I know you were gonna, you know, ride the bicycle for the first time and you fell off, but get back on it, you know, you're gonna do it. And somewhere along the lines, we kind of forget to do that to ourselves. So for me, it's very much, I'm trying and I am parenting myself of when I hear self-talk that's not positive or not helping me. I'm just telling myself to stop it. If it's something that I want to do and it didn't go as I hoped, that's fine. Let's get back on it. I've learned, you know, the only way to actually be able to do something well is by practicing. And by practicing, we just need to get back on it and do it until we succeed. So parenting yourself.
I love that so much. And one of the main reasons I love it is it's so in line with my ethos around being our own best ideal mum and our own best ideal dad. And you just really explicitly voice those two different parents that we need, right? And it isn't about gender and it isn't about sex and it isn't about any of those things. It's about the cheerleader and the champion, right? So we have that kind of more masculine voice. It's like, get back up, do it again, do it, find your edge, come on champ, you know, that kind of
thing. Absolutely.
And then we've got the kind of more nurturing, like, there, how's your knee, let me kiss it better for you, like, you're doing okay, it's really okay to rest, like that much more nurturing voice. And we get to do both of those for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And almost knowing when to step into each element, that sometimes is fine to, of course, nurture yourself and go, okay, you know, you need to take a day off or you need to rest. Are you okay? And other days it's like, you are fine. Come on, let's do it again. And it's almost knowing when to step into the roles and just be very honest with yourself and just cut out the bullshit.
So one of the reasons I love this and this conversation is But that's all very well and good until it comes to dating, right? Like, how many of us have decided, unconsciously perhaps, that we want to outsource one of those roles to our partner? Does that make sense to you? We're like, I don't want to be the one that tells me to get up and carry on. I want to find a partner who's going to do that for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And if only I could have this, then my life will be complete. Or I need to have someone in order to travel or go to this restaurant or do this. Or I can't do this on my own. I kind of need someone. So yeah, absolutely.
So tell me a bit about how TaylorMatch was born.
So TaylorMatch was born out of my own experience in my dating life. Due to my very corporate city career, I decided to date as that as well. I thought being the kind of fun and sensual relationship me didn't work with having a corporate career. I thought I had to choose and date as I went about my career. With that in mind, I left out a huge part of myself, which is who am I outside the boardroom. And because of that, the dates that I went to, the relationships that I had, was very much led by only one side of me. So either it was the corporate side that was just, you know, cut off the feelings, basically, of just like, this is what I want it now. Like, will this person add value to my life? If no, you know, it was just very, you know, like mechanic. Because that way didn't work, I then seeked relationships or interactions with people whereby it was a far more nothing to do with the corporate side. So I met with people where I just had one side of myself. So either became very only based on sexual interaction or just a sensual side without the overall compatibility. So 10 years of doing that, I led a life whereby I either had someone that I was overall compatible with, but I didn't have the sexual side. After feeling that didn't fulfill me, I then went to someone who fulfilled me sexually, but not on overall compatibility. And I went like that for a really long time until I thought, this is not healthy. Who am I outside my career? What do I need? What do I want? And I found that dating apps didn't work for me. It was A, I didn't have any time within my career. I also found that it was shallow. It was a big numbers game. I felt afraid saying what I was doing in terms of my job title. I thought that guys were then going to be afraid, oh, you can't have career and a love life type thing. So I decided to do something about it. And I thought, why are we not talking about the sexual side, sexual incompatibility? And the only way to get over that is by actually talking about it. So last year, I decided to leave my corporate career. I had a few months off, and then TaylorMatch was born, and the idea came together as matching people on overall compatibility and sexual preferences as one. Let's talk about all of it, not one side of yourself.
And so as part of that, so did you do your coaching qualification with this intention, like to specifically coach people around relationships and around that compatibility? Or was it in part, was there another part of it?
I did the coaching qualification with the intention to support clients. TaylorMatch started with the idea as matchmaking only, but very quickly I thought, if someone matchmade me 18 months ago when I just had this corporate hat on and just didn't care about other sides of myself, someone would have matchmade me wrong. It was little point to go on dates when I didn't own up to being who I actually am. So with that in mind, I thought, what would I have needed back then? That would be a coach. So that's when I decided to check out coaching, found the Coaching Academy, and I completed my qualification and diploma with them.
Fantastic.
To truly support people, because it's, why match someone if they don't own up to who they are, or is things holding them back?
Well, you're not going to have, like, So how many times do we see relationships, particularly in my space, in the entrepreneurial space, or in the space of people wanting to live a life less ordinary?
Yeah.
And where people may very well end up in relationships, but then when they do the internal work, when they figure out who the fuck they really are.
Yeah.
And then, you know, learn to like it or change until they do, what often happens is that the relationship they're in also needs to change. And so one of two things happen. Either they work out that they're not in the best relationship for either person, or that relationship gets to change and they both get to change together. And so having an aspect of coaching that really helps you get clear on who you are, what it is that you really want, what that's going to look like long term, who is going to be most compatible for you. At least on my own journey, I have really discovered that what I thought I wanted and who I actually need, or what kind of relationship would suit me best and the kind of person that I'm most compatible with, were so far from one another.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if I may give the example, but you know, when it comes to dating, it's so many people, and rightly so, you know, they don't know what they want because no one have really asked them the question, and we haven't been allowed to figure that out. You know, we kind of start dating whatever, you know, young, early age or later age, whatever. And some people meet someone and they kind of fall into it, or they actively really like someone and they go with that. I went to a talk when they talked about the hormones behind it as well. You know, that once you meet someone and you click, when the hormone kick in, a dopamine, then you know, if you haven't gone with the right partner, you will go for 6 to 8 months or whatever until you come out of that, you know, falling in love stage. When the next step is happening, that is when you will wake up and go like, oh my God, who is this person? Why am I actually dating this person? So they were saying, just make sure that once you fall into this falling in love stage, you know who you're falling in love with and why, because you know otherwise you're fucked, because for 6 months the hormone will kick in and you would just crave this person.
Yeah, particularly as women. And I think a lot of us don't know this, right? So when we sleep with a man, or we release oxytocin, which is the bonding chemical, which essentially latches us on to person for 2 years, right?
That's that long.
Yeah, and so that means that it can be really difficult. You know how sometimes, like, even if we don't want to, we're really attached to a person. That's a biochemical thing that's happening because we've allowed ourselves to engage in intercourse with someone that we might not even know yet, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I absolutely am all for a healthy sex life, but I think education in terms of what's really going on, how that affects what you're thinking, like all of that stuff, like having a greater awareness is only ever going to serve you.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. And I get that question a lot, you know, what do you think I should I meet this person? You know, what do you think about having sex on the first date? You know, should I share that I want to have a family? Should I share this? And my answer is, you can do whatever you like on the first date, share whatever you're comfortable with, have sex on the first date, as long as you feel the person you're on a date with is worthy of that information and is worthy of you. You know, you can do it, but just make sure you kind of have checked in with yourself. And if you make the call of like, yeah, this is fine and I want this, then do it. And if you feel, I'm not sure where this is going, then it's nothing wrong with not sharing that information either. And as you mentioned, it comes back.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are set up to believe that they will get something in return for, right? So it's like, rather than it being this, the other person has earned the privilege for that intimacy, or earned the right to, because they've shown you that they're worthy of it. And I think that worthiness thing can be so misconstrued, right? Like, it's about whether they've shown you that they're trustworthy, whether they've shown you that their values are a match for yours, whether they've shown you that they can hold space for you and that they appreciate you and that you want the same things, right? And if you can't be honest, if you are feeling intimidated, then it's probably not a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like a false economy. And also what you mentioned, you know, once you do have sex and that hormone is released. And it's just when you are aware of that, as long as you're aware that that is going to happen and that you may, you know, miss this person more for the next week, or as you mentioned, you know, years, then that's fine. And if you're not up for that, I mean, that really helped me with someone that I was seeing, and I just figured, why am I going back to this person? What is that? And then when we did meet, and then I missed him, you know, incredibly after meeting him. And then when I learned about the hormones, so now I just, or like if a couple of months ago, I just figured, no, it's not worth it, because I know it's lovely when we do meet, but this happens and it just blocks a, you know, doors for meeting someone else, or just my focus on other things, and this will just happen. So it's with the knowledge that you can do that, but then this happens. As long as you're cool with that, go for it.
Yeah, and I think there's something really important in what you just said, right? So overall, you're looking at, like, the sexual compatibility is really important, and let's not feel shame about it, and let's not deny it, and let's have it out in the open and talk about it.
Yeah,
and let's make sure that that's, it's not a two-dimensional relationship, right? Let's make sure that the rest of your lives, professionally and in terms of lifestyle and values, yeah, and those things are also compatible, because otherwise, it comes from my end, it comes from a really lack mentality. It comes from a mentality of I can have either or. And I know so many of us who believe that, right? Like, I can either have this or I can have that, rather than, and so many of us don't get to witness role models of relationships where both parties have got it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I wanted to start talking about the sexual preferences side, to mirror exactly what you described, of let's talk about all of it. A, for people to explore themselves or their wants and needs in life and in the bedroom, because what I feel the dating world, what's happening is that you either have dating apps or companies that talk about the overall compatibility and they don't mention the sexual compatibility. So you have to find that out for yourself. And a lot of people feel real shame around it. They don't talk about it until they're comfortable. At that point, you know, the other partner might be, oh God, I had no idea. No, I don't want to do that. And then that comes. And if you want to seek the sexual compatibility, then you may go to, you know, a community that talks about the sensual side and the sexual side, but they may not talk about the overall compatibility. So then you kind of, you know, it's just going from one end of the spectrum to the other. So that's what I want to encourage people to do, is start to explore themselves on their wants and needs in life and in the bedroom. And I want it to get to a stage whereby we can talk about it in broad daylight, just as we talk about, you know, anything else. How was work? Or, you know, I want to change bank. Or I keep saying this, that I want more passion than pension talks.
I don't think people talk about pensions enough either, but yes.
No,
I
guess. That's true. Yeah,
I totally agree. My biggest issue with your business is that you're only London-based right now.
Yeah, I am right now. I am, so yes, come down to London. The reason why I do that is because I meet with everyone that signs up to the agency. I do that because I believe it's very important. I very much believe in the face-to-face, you know, in real life interaction. So I advocate that by also meeting with everyone. I also get a much better feel for the person, you know, who are they, what are they looking for, because it tends to be with people, sometimes it is what they don't say, or mm-hmm. how they say it. And I've had people coming in, and it's a really nice space with people that's being created, because I meet with people, then we have a chat. Why do they want to meet someone now? Dating history, something holding them back, you know, how can I help them? And it's been a couple of occasions where people have come in and they are really certain about that. I want this, this, and this. And I just go, that's absolutely fine. You know, this is a safe place for you and I to explore how I can help you. And then after the meeting, they're like, actually, I know I said that, but I'm not sure I do want that. Because what have happened there is that all their life, someone else have been telling them that this is what you should do. And they read things, or they hear things, or they see other friends doing something or something on social media, and they believe that that's what they should do. So it's wonderful to see people just be able to be open and explore and just be honest. And that's absolutely fine with me.
And I guess I've got a question that is around the, so I see more sites and more dating apps and more agencies being less heteronormative. But it's always a conversation that I feel like it's important to have. And I'm aware of my own kind of cis, straight, and not completely, you know, very, very open to it not being the amount of times I get called out. So whenever I'm on dating sites, literally the first question I get from most people is around some kind of kink. And I'm 99% sure that it's to do with tattoos and the way that I look, right? People make, and they want to dive into a conversation around sexuality. They want to dive into a conversation around what that means, what that looks like. And I am really open to those conversations, but I'd also mm-hmm. like, hi, hello, how are you?
Exactly.
First, personally.
Yeah.
So is Taylor Matched open to everyone? What does that look like right now?
Yes, it is open to everyone. Because it's in the building phase, I'm very honest with people of, you know, this is where the business is. This is what I can offer you. This is how I can help and who I could potentially match them with. So it's just being very transparent. It is open to everyone. And what I hear most is that, well, especially recently, is that meetings that I have had, people are a little bit cautious that I am talking about the sexual aspect so much because they're like, I'm vanilla. I don't have a kink. And I was like, that's fine
that's
too.
That's okay.
This is the whole point, you know, because that's what I need to know. Because otherwise, if I match you with someone else who has a strong preference and they won't budge on that, it's important. That's a way of living for them. I wouldn't
but
match
I think
them
it's
with that.
As important.
Absolutely.
Not feel shame about, like, I am very strong, some often very strong in my stance on that, right? Like I love the kink community because they're so open about talking about sex.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean, and so it's I find it a very comfortable place to hang out because the yeah. conversation is really real, because there's been more thought and consideration as to what each individual might want to experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really okay to want that experience to be very straight, very vanilla, very, you know, traditional or whatever words yeah. you want to use for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually read an article not so long ago about that the kink community are better than others talking about boundaries.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, which I think absolutely rings true, because it's ingrained of talking about this is what I do, you know, what are you into, how can we, you know, play together. So absolutely, that rings true.
My appreciation of the kink community has always been around its desire to be completely 100% consent led, which I don't, yeah. you know, the thing about sexuality or sexual preference being taboo and being shame-led is what leads there to being consent issues in the first yeah. place. Like, if it wasn't an issue, we'd all be talking about it much more. If people weren't feeling deprived, if they weren't coming from a lack mentality,
yeah.
then we'd be able to have these conversations much more openly, so there wouldn't be any doubt around consent.
No, exactly. And it would just be okay to talk about it. I mean, I was in a workshop the other month, and it was a vulva workshop with men and women in the same room. And it was beautiful because we were able to have conversations about the exact same situation from a male and female perspective. And that's how I run all my events, of that I want to have panels female, male, so people can ask a question or a situation, or this happened, or this is what I want, and get an answer from a male and female, of just opening that up. Because what happened in that workshop was that we talked about communication in bed, and one of the guys was saying, oh, but I really like the woman to direct me and just tell me what's working. Does it feel good? Doesn't it feel good? And then one of the women, she was like, well, I've never done that, because I always thought that the guy would then feel belittled in that situation. And he was like, no. And she was like, but surely you can hear on my breathing if I like it. He was like, no, this is what I'm telling you. You know, I need you to say it. And she was like, oh my God, I thought I could do it through breathing, you know. And it was so beautiful to see. It was like 15.
Well, and once you're in a relationship with someone, right, you may very well be able to hear it through their breathing if yeah. you've had a conversation about it in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly.
At the moment, I would much prefer not to talk about it, right? So this is why I am a huge advocate for talking about the bedroom and sexual preference and desire and what you want and how to communicate and consent and all of those things before you're in the moment.
Oh right? my god, yeah, absolutely, it happens before.
Till you're actually in, till you are a walking hormone machine.
Yes.
At which point you're like, I actually don't want to talk. Like, you don't want to talk, right? You can't, no. You're controlled by something else at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, it's something I talk about as well, you know, when you are in the moment, that four sentences, you know, obviously they can work, but you know, don't want to have a whole, you know, sentences about what you want right then. It might just be, you know, yes and no, or harder or softer, or I've done a lot of play with where it is touched by hands. You hold hands, and then if you, you know, want a stronger touch, then you kind of press your hand, and if you want it lighter, you kind of lift your hand from your partner's hand. And it's really beautiful ways that you can communicate in the moment. But in terms of your wants and the needs and the consent and all that, definitely happens before, because once you're in it, you know, it's, you have to kind of separate yourself and otherwise talk about it, which, you know.
And if we're bringing this level of awareness and conversation and communication and openness, honesty, transparency into the bedroom, then that's going to impact the rest of the relationship in
absolutely
wonderful way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just understanding, you know, and it starts with you, and it's a lot of the work that I do of what do you want, you know, what are your wants and needs, and then be able to either work on someone's, might be confidence that's holding them back, or it might be that one time I shared this and it wasn't received well or the way I hoped, so now I refrain from communicating. But it's getting people to the you know, and I work on that constantly as well. I share a lot of my journey through Taylor Match and just being, you know, honest and 100% transparent on where I was, where I am, sometimes where I fail, because so other people feel they can open up too, because I want us, me included, everyone to get to a point whereby it is okay to talk about everything in a relationship, and especially the intimacy side. And intimacy, you know, doesn't have to be sex part or intercourse or penetration. It could be, you know, public display of affection, or I need, you know, what do I need right now and how can I communicate it? It might just be someone being close to me, or, you know, a cuddle, as well as, you know, today I want to fuck.
Once we've got the vocabulary and the emotional intelligence, the safety, the trust, like all of those elements, then it also works with money as well, right? Because ultimately we're talking about energy and we're talking about power. And like when you were saying, you know, I was in, there was this one side of me that was showing up, and then it was this, like, that's an energetic thing, right? And being allowed to have a spectrum and being allowed to be responsible for different parts of the relationship and it being a partnership only works when no one feels threatened, and there's a container in which you are okay to be heard and to speak and to not have it all figured out, and for it to be I think that society, particularly films and books and stuff like that, have done a terrible job in getting us to look at the bit after we have committed. So we've got this kind of happy ever after culture where it's like, what happens once we've made a decision to commit to one another, right? It doesn't just stop, and it isn't just constant and the same and like that forever. There's an evolution of that relationship.
Oh, absolutely. And I think with social media as well, we always see the good sides. You know, it's very few people, if any, just putting out a post of, today my husband forgot to buy me flowers on Valentine's Day. You know, you always will see, and I think that's why sometimes people doubt themselves, because it looks, in, you know, our eyes sometimes on social media, like someone's life is perfect, because you only see when people show up and when you got something or someone did something for someone. Oh, look at this, look at that. And then you look at your own relationship and you're like, you didn't do that, or this is not what I did, you know. And people then doubt what they have instead of looking at it, you know, and talking to the partner and just focusing on yourself.
Yeah, and I wish there was more conversation about, so I've got clients and friends who are both self-employed and who both love what they do for a living, and then they're talking about having a family, and they're then talking about like what that means in terms of whose role is more important afterwards and how will the childcare and like all of that sort of stuff. And it's really important, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not make the assumption that the woman will then take maternity leave and the, you know, or like, I see it in same-sex relationships as well. Often there's more talk, but not always, around like, well, whose career is more important? I'm doing inverted commas, you can't hear it, but like, you know, whose is more important and what will that look like afterwards? I think it's because you're talking about the compatibility and the lifestyle side of it, it's so important for us to have all of those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an ex-colleague of mine who, she, you know, put it really beautifully before, you know, tying into what you just said. They had the talk of, okay, this is our careers now. When we have a family, you know, how do we work together? And they almost made a plan of going, okay, she was going into the city, you know, earning the money, getting the career. He was also having a career, but not the same amount of hours as she put in. Then they had the baby, then she stepped down and he stepped up, if that makes sense, in terms of their career. And I think that was really nice. And I remember liking what she said then, but I now really understand the importance of it. Whereby a couple of years ago, I was like, oh, you had the conversation. Oh, that's really nice. You work in partnership. That I remember thinking that. But I'm like, it's very important to...
I have friends in the film industry who's similar. They've kind of gone, you know what, let's do it 1 year on or one project on, one off, right? They take it in turns to be in the spotlight and for there to be a certain amount of, like, to be an agreed time frame around that. Because whether you're married or not, a marriage, a contract, a partnership, if that is your arrangement, is long, right? So let's get clear on, like, you can both get your needs met, but maybe not at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's talking about it and communicating it. And I think, you know, it's easy to say as well. And sometimes it is harder to do, because when we like someone, we want to be with that person. And, you know, including myself, and I know others, people that I work with, they are then afraid of communicating that. But then it's exploring, if you don't, what will your life look like then? Which most of the time the answer is, well, then that might not work, which is, you know, probably what is going to happen. So it's starting with that conversation. And if you don't see eye to eye, then it's better to know that then.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can make a constant decision of really working at it, or just decide to not to. But, you know, most of the time it works out as well. It's just for people to, you know, the more I communicate and the more open I am, and being very clear on my boundaries with myself and with others, what I find is that I meet more people like-minded to me, and it's so beautiful when it happens. And now when I'm in it, it's easy. But a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, you know, if I told myself that early 20s, I wouldn't have believed it, because I would have thought, oh, but if I'm honest with what I want and he may not want it, then we're not going to end up together. But what's the point if you're not compatible in the end of the day?
So if people want to find out more about you, come and read some of what you're doing, just engage in anything, where's the best place for them to come? We'll put all the links in the show notes.
Yes, so I am on Instagram, so that's Taylor Matched, one word, and my website, taylormatched.com. I am now also on Facebook, also Taylor Matched.
Fab. We'll make sure we link all of that. Will you end with I'm an adult but with me?
I'm an adult, but yesterday I nearly didn't do something that I said I was going to do. So coming back to parenting yourself. So I put out a post, and it's a good friend of mine that called me up on it. I put out a post of saying, if you tapped into a state of insane courage, what would you do differently? And I knew it was something I wanted to do yesterday. I was sending an email to someone. I'd been a little bit, you know, triple thinking about it. And I shared that with my friend, and she was like, you hypocrite, I saw that poster you put out and you now you're not gonna do it. And I was like, I'm gonna do it, I'm doing it. I was like, I've done it. And then this morning I just said thank you, and you know, I did another post of saying I nearly didn't. So I was honest and I said I nearly didn't do it. So if that's you, you know, share it with someone you trust, they will call you out on your own bullshit and make you do it. And that's exactly what I did. So we're only human, it's easy to say things, and you know, I do live by proving that I walk the talk. Sometimes we do talk ourselves out of it, but in the end of the day, sometimes you need to support yourself. Drive with someone you trust and make sure you do it.
Okay, so mine is, I'm an adult, but when an ex got in contact with me recently and I knew it was a bad idea to engage, for a very brief moment, from a place of complete flattery and an ego place, I engaged in the conversation. And I will go on to say, I then also caught myself and was like, this is not healthy, it's not helpful, it's not appropriate, it doesn't serve either of us. And so very, from a very mature place, actually closed the door again. But I kind of want to share it because I feel like it's important. Like, I'm not grown up 100% adult all of the time who's like, no, I'm not going to engage in this. Totally engaged, totally played, totally went there. And then was like, this is not helpful for either of us. Like, you know where this is going.
Yeah. Now
so I did, and
Well, that's so good that you did this in the end, and it's like the boundaries are coming back, isn't it, and just being honest with yourself. And you know, it's so easy sometimes, it's like a slippery slope, and it's so easy, and it depends on the mood and the day and flattery, and it's a sunny day, and like, you know, when it's hot outside, god, your mind goes everywhere. but in the end of the days, parenting yourself, which you did.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been such a lovely, lovely pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.